नेट चलती है दुनिया के किसी भी कोने में। विजिट करें fevertel.com या कॉल करें 416-243-9836 416-243-9836। कनेक्शन आपका दुनिया के साथ।
Assalamualaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Another welcome, listeners, to another edition of A Muslim's Perspectives. This is your host, Alim Ali. Peace and blessings be with you all. And today's selection from the Quran is taken from chapter 67, that is Surah Mulk, verses 1-4. Let's listen in.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير.
Selection taken from chapter 67, Surah Mulk, verses 1-4. In English, it's translated, "In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Blessed is the one in whose hands rests all authority, and he is the most capable of everything. He is the one who created death and life in order to test which of you is best in deeds. And he is the Almighty, all-forgiving. He is the one who created seven heavens, one above the other. You will never see any imperfection in the creation of the most compassionate. So look again. Do you see any flaws? Then look again and again, and your sight will return frustrated and wary." Now, a commentary taken from the Study Quran states that sovereignty translates mulk, a word closely related to malakut, which is rendered dominion in chapter 16, verse 83. They derive from the same root of mim, lam, kaf, which in verbal form means to possess, to control, to rule, or to reign. According to some, malakut refers to God's lordship over the unseen realm, while mulk refers to God's lordship over the visible world. The divine name Malik, master, also derives from this root, as does the word for king, Malik, and the most widely used form and most widely used word for angels, malaika, singular, and malak, plural. For more on these terms and their uses in Islamic theology, cosmology, we can explore later. God's creation, in verse 2, God's creation of life and death is often understood as his granting existence to what is non-existence, as in chapter 2, verse 28, where he says, how can you disbelieve in God, seeing that you were dead and he gave you life? That the mention of death precedes life in this verse can be seen as an indication that God has created death for human being in relation to this world. For every soul shall taste of death, chapter 3 verse 185, chapter 21 verse 35, chapter 29 verse 57, and life in relation to both this life and the hereafter. As a saying of the prophet, a hadith states, God has humbled the son of Adam with death, and has made the world an abode of life, then an abode of death, and made the hereafter an abode of recompense, then an abode of eternal abiding. Regarding the second half of the verse, surely we made whatsoever is in the earth an adornment for it, that we may try them as to which of them is most virtuous indeed. That God tries human beings is not considered unjust, for as other verses say, in chapter 2 verse 286, God tasks no soul beyond its capacity. And your Lord wrongs no one, chapter 18 verse 49. Trials are considered an aspect of God's mercy, since they are integral part of the process of purification. When asked which human beings suffer the greatest trials, the prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, answered, the prophets, then those most like them. A person is tested according to the level of his faith. If his faith is firm, his trials increase in severity, and if there is weakness in his faith, he will be tried accordingly. With regard to trials faced by believers, another hadith says, no fatigue, disease, sorrow, sadness, hurt, or distress befalls a Muslim, even if he be pricked by a thorn, that God expiates some of his sins thereby. In this verse, affliction can be a blessing for the opportunities it presents. Another hadith says, if God wants to do good to somebody, he afflicts him with trials. Conversely, wealth can be a curse for those who do not manage it properly, as in chapter 9 verse 85. And let not their wealth or their children impress them, as impress you. God desire only to punish them thereby in this world, and that their souls should depart while they are disbelievers. Thus one is tried both by affliction in the face of which one must be patient, and by blessings for which one must be thankful, recognizing that God is powerful over all things. Several early commentators note the significance of the fact that the verse says most virtuous indeed, rather than most accomplished, or simply most, a position that reflects the emphasis upon intention found throughout the Quran and Hadith. As the Prophet says in one of the most famous of Hadith, quote, deeds are only in accord with their intentions, and every person has only what he or she intended, unquote. It is said that upon reciting this chapter, the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, stopped when he reached, which of you is the most virtuous indeed, and said, the most wary of what God has forbidden, and the quickest to obey God, that is the most virtuous. When we looked to verses 3 and 4, the heavens can be seen as reference only to the heavens. The whole of the created world. The whole of the created order, or the universe, the universal levels or grades of existence. The last of which serves as a basis for various hierarchical cosmological schemes in some commentaries. This proportion translates tafawut, which here indicates something that lacks proportion or balance, such that parts of it fail to connect with other parts of it. Thus some say it has the same meaning as rifts. In chapter 50 verse 6, have they not looked upon the sky above them, how we built it and adorned it, and how it has no rifts. The lack of this proportion can be understood as the absence of rifts between the seven heavens, or more generally as an indication that there are no gaps in God's creation. As several verses indicate, all things are created in truth. In chapter 44, verse 38 and 39, and we did not create the heavens and the earth and whatsoever is in between them. In play, we did not create them save in truth. As several verses indicate, all things are created in truth, as in chapter 44, verse 38 and 39, and we did not create the heavens and the earth and whatsoever is in between them in play. We did not create them save in truth, but most of them know not. That the eye returns humbled could also mean that an eye that tries to find defect returns humiliated and debased. This verse is also related to chapter 4, verse 82, which maintains that for one who contemplates the Quran, no discrepancy will be found in it.
Tell me what, tell me what defines us, tell me what can move the soul, the past that our time can't change, what the sort of end could never end up.
Khalil Muhammad from the UK singing Love for God, Love for Allah. We are looking today at Surah Mulk verses 1 to 4. And the first verse, blessed is he in whose hand is dominion and he is over all things competent. Tabaraka, blessed, signifies God, majesty, abundance and perfection. In his hand is dominion. Mulk means absolute ownership of everything in existence. Control over life, death, power, and authority. Unlike human ownership, God's dominion is complete, independent, and eternal. Everything people fight over, wealth, influence, control, is temporary. This verse reorients the believer. Real authority belongs only to God. And in verse 2, He created death and life to test you, as to which of you is best in deeds, and He is the exalted in might, the forgiving. Notice the order, death before life. Scholars explain this reminds us that non-existence, then life, then death, then resurrection. Death is not the end, but part of a designed journey. The purpose of life, not most deeds, but best deeds, ahsan amala. It comes with sincerity, correctness, following truth. God combines power, He can judge perfectly, forgiveness, and He gives hope. This verse reframes life completely. You are not here to accumulate, but to prove your character through choices. Verse 3. He who created seven heavens in layers, you do not see in the creation of the Most Merciful any inconsistency. So retain your vision. Do you see any breaks? Seven heavens indicates a structured, layered universe, not random chaos. No inconsistency. No contradiction, imbalance, or flaw. God invites observation, reflection, and repeated examination. The classical scholars emphasize this is a challenge to human perception, not blind belief. The universe reflects precision and intentional design. In an age of science and even AI-generated realities, this verse calls for careful observation of truth versus illusion. Reality as created by God is coherent and consistent, not deceptive. In verse 4, then return your vision twice again. Your vision will return to you humbled while it is fatigued. The command is repeated, look again and again. The outcome? You will fail to find flaws. Your sight returns humbled, recognizing limitation, fatigued, unable to detect imperfection. Human intellect is powerful, but not absolute. The more deeply one examines creation, the more one realizes its perfection, one's own limits. So when we look at the core themes of verses 1 to 4, it suggests or it demands the absolute sovereignty. Everything belongs to God. Control is an illusion for humans. Life is a test of quality, not quantity, but sincerity and correctness define success. The universe is designed with precision, no randomness, only intentional, flawless creation. Human perception has limits. Repeated observation leads not to arrogance, but humility. These verses are especially powerful today in a world of misinformation, manipulation, and AI-generated illusions. God points to a reliable anchor, reality itself. Truth is not chaotic. It withstands scrutiny again and again. Falsehood collapses under repeated examination. Truth does not.
La ilaha illallah.
No God but Allah.
Muhammad Rasulallah.
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
I bear witness that
there is no Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God.
Mo Ali, as he sings the Shahada in reggae style. Mo Ali is a Sudanese reggae singer. Now let's look, take a deeper dive into this concept of Ahsanu Amala, where God basically created us to see which of us has the best of deeds. There is a powerful question the Quran asks every one of us, whether we realize it or not. Who did the most? Not who did the most, not who appeared the most righteous, but something deeper. God says, He who created death and life to test you as to which of you is best in deeds. Not the most, but the best. And that one shift changes everything. We live in a world obsessed with numbers. More followers, more views, more output, more recognition. Even in religion sometimes, we think the same way. How many prayers, how many donations, how much we have done. But the Quran redirects us. It tells us, this life is not a test of volume or quantity. It is a test of value. Early scholars like Al-Hasan al-Basri explain, the best deeds are not the most, but the most sincere and the most correct. So two questions define every action we take. Why am I doing this? And am I doing it the right way? The inner dimension. A deed can look big, but be empty. Another can look small, but carry immense weight. The difference is sincerity. The teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, remind us the most beloved deeds are those that are consistent, even if small. That means a quiet daily prayer, a small act of charity, a moment of restraint, done sincerely, can outweigh something much larger done for show. Ihsan, living with awareness. At the heart of best deeds is the concept called Ihsan. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, described it as to worship God as if you see him. Even though we don't see him, we know he sees us. Imagine what that does to a person. It means you speak differently, you act differently, you choose differently, because you are aware that nothing is hidden. So what does this actually look like? Not in theory, but in real life. In prayer, for example, the best prayer is not the longest. It is the one where your heart is present. Even a short prayer with focus, with humility, can be more valuable than a long, distracted one. In charity, for example, God in the Quran tells us, if you give charity quietly, it is better for you. The best charity is not posted. It is not announced. It protects the dignity of the one receiving. It is given from what you love, not from what you want to get rid of. In speech, this is one of the biggest tests today. The Quran teaches us to speak truth, to speak well, or to remain silent. In a world of misinformation, viral content, even AI that imitate reality, the responsibility to verify, to be honest, to not spread falsehood, this is imtiha. This is ibadah. In conflict, God says, repel evil with that which is better. That means not reacting instantly, not letting ego take over, not lowering yourself. Sometimes the best deed is the moment you don't respond, or the moment you forgive when you have the power not to. In work and daily life, excellence is not faqht in ibadah. It is how you work. Being honest when no one is watching. Refusing shortcuts. Doing your job properly. This is part of best deeds. In private, some of the greatest deeds no one will ever see. A quiet supplication. A hidden prayer. Walking away from temptation when you are alone. These are powerful because they are real. They are free from performance. The Quran also teaches us something incredibly relevant today. If someone brings you news, verify it. We live in a time when narratives are manipulated, images can be fabricated, voices can be cloned. Truth is no longer obvious. So seeking truth, verifying information, refusing to spread falsehood, this is part of being among the best in deeds. Here is something the Quran keeps reminding us. What matters is not always what people see. It is what God sees. A person may appear to do very little, but in reality they are among the best, because their intentions are pure, their actions are sincere, their heart is present, fully attentive. Another may appear impressive, but inside there is no sincerity. So at the end of the day, the question is not how much did I do, but how true was I in what I did. The best deed you do today might be something no one notices, no one praises, no one even knows happens, except God, and that is enough. May God make us among those who are truly ahsanu amala, the best in deeds. Ameen.
Ever been on the driving side and you're riding, you're looking through the glass of your car on the side? The engine's broken and the car is smoking and the dude is shaking cause the heat is baking. Or this cat's got a flat and the spare's all whack. No jack in the back and no clue where he's at. There ain't no real rush but you will ride by, not even asking the guy if he needs the supply. He might be alright and to pass ain't a thing, but within you feel bad in the state that he's in. How hard would it be just to ask you okay? That might be the deed that you need to succeed. That might be the deed that will so please Allah that you're forgiven the sin and you did when you was living. A small little thing that can cling and just ring and will bring the blessing from Allah who's the king. We pass on in peace cause they seem all small, but they might be the deeds that's the best of them all. Mad when I see all these passes I took on these small little deeds I just overlooked.
I can't believe small deeds that I overlooked. And you see little deeds that I overlooked. And you read about it in my holy book. It says small deeds never overlooked. I just can't believe small deeds that I overlooked. Can you see little deeds that I overlooked? And you read about it in my holy book. It says small deeds never overlooked.
Picking up trash on the path in the flash, taking glass from the grass as you pass through your class. A smile goes a mile and the shirt is worthwhile when a brother's hostile and has been for a while. Put a dollar every day in the sadaqa. It may be small but you do it for the baraka. I know you save it for your polo and your nautica. A poor student but you do it just to please Allah. Things like praying for an ailing brother under the weather. Obeying your lovely mother is for the better. Stay and help your baby brother. Put on a sweater, even saying good to one another. When you're together, advice to another sister about a mister. Your wife always go and kiss her. Tell her you miss her. At night do a quiet thicker and pray the with her. Invite a guy who wants to pick her to share a snicker. Grand plans expand in our small little hands, but we overlook demands that you seem like spans. We get jammed on exams and we skip the small things. Small baby deeds, come on, bring the blessing.
Small deeds that I overlook, and you see little deeds that I overlook. And you read about it in my holy book. It says small deeds never overlook. I just can't believe small deeds that I overlook. And you see little deeds that I overlook. And you read about it in my holy book. It says small deeds never overlook.
Put a dollar every day in the sadaqa. It may be small, but you do it for the baraka. I know you save it for your polo and your nautica. A poor student, but you do it just to please Allah.
I just can't believe small deeds that I overlook. And you see little deeds that I overlook. And you read
in my holy book. It says small deeds that are overlooked.
I just can't believe
small deeds that are overlooked.
Can you see
little deeds that are overlooked?
And you read
about it in my holy book. It says small deeds never overlooked. Believe, and you see, and you read, it says, I just can't believe.
Indeed, small deeds that are overlooked. Let's try to be sincere in everything we do with awareness, with intentionality, and not look for performative actions or deeds. Have you ever wondered why life tests us in such different ways? Some days bring ease, success and joy. Other days bring stress, loss or confusion. And sometimes it's not even hardship that shakes us, but uncertainty. Not knowing what's right, what's true, or what direction to take. In the Islamic tradition, there are three powerful concepts that help us understand these experiences: imtihan, bala, and fitna. Each one gives us a lens to make sense of what we go through, and more importantly, how we respond. Let's start with the first, imtihan. Imtihan means a test, but not in the way we usually think of a test, as in something you pass or fail in school. In this context, it's deeper. It's a test of your character, your sincerity, your inner state. Life itself is an imtihan. The Quran reminds us that we will be tested to reveal who truly strives and who remains patient, chapter 47, verse 31. And that people are not left to simply claim belief without being tested, chapter 29, verse 2. Every decision you make, whether to be honest or dishonest, patient or reactive, kind or harsh, is part of that test. It's not about information, it's about transformation. A person may believe they are patient until they are tested with difficulty. They may believe they are grateful until they are given abundance. The test brings out what's already inside of us. Now let's move to the second concept, bala. Bala refers to the actual experience of trial. It's what you go through. The Quran tells us that people will be tested with fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives, and fruits. But give glad tidings to those who are patient, chapter 2, verse 155. When you lose a job, that's bala. When you face illness, that's bala. When you are dealing with anxiety, pressure, or grief, that's bala. But here is something many people overlook. Success is also bala. The Quran reminds us, we test you with both hardship and ease as a trial, chapter 21, verse 35. Wealth is a test. Influence is a test. Even happiness can be a test. Because hardship asks, will you be patient? And ease ask, will you be grateful? Two different situations, but both reveal something about you. Bala is like the environment of the test. It's the condition you are placed in. It's the condition you are placed in. And your response to it. And that's where the imtihan unfolds. Now we come to the third concept, fitna. This one is especially relevant today. Fitna is a type of trial, but it's more intense. It's a trial that shakes you, that confuses you, that puts your sense of truth at risk. The Quran warns of trials that affect entire communities, not just those who do wrong, chapter 8, verse 25, and reminds us that wealth and children themselves can be a form of fitna, chapter 64, verse 15. The original meaning of the word refers to purifying gold in fire, where heat separates what is pure from what is not. In human terms, fitna is that heat. It can come in the form of temptation, being pulled towards something you know is wrong. It can come as pressure, when standing for what's right feels isolating or difficult. And increasingly, it comes as confusion, when truth and falsehood are mixed together so closely that it becomes hard to tell the difference. We live in a time where information is everywhere. Opinions are constant. Narratives compete for attention. And sometimes what spreads the fastest is not what is most true, but what is most appealing. That's fitna. It's just not about what you go through. It's about how clearly you can still see. The Quran teaches that in such moments, people should reflect deeply and not follow what they have no knowledge of, chapter 17, verse 36, and repeatedly calls people to think, reflect, and use their reason. So how do these three ideas come together? Think of it this way. The imtihan is the test itself, the purpose behind everything you experience. The bala is the situation, the difficulty or ease you are placed in. And the fitna is the pressure point, the point where your clarity, your values, or your faith are at risk. Every fitna is a form of bala, and every bala is part of the imtihan. But not every test is equally dangerous. Some tests simply require patience. Others require strength, clarity, and conviction. And that's why awareness matters. Because when you recognize that you are being tested, you respond differently. When hardship hits, instead of asking, why is this happening to me? You begin to ask, how should I respond to this? Echoing the Quranic call to turn to God in all conditions. When ease comes, instead of becoming distracted or complacent, you ask, am I using this in the right way? Remembering that gratitude must be lived, not just spoken. And when confusion arises, when you are unsure what to believe or who to trust, you slow down, reflect, and seek what is true with sincerity. In all of this, the goal is not perfection. The goal is sincerity. To keep returning, to keep realigning, to keep choosing what is right, even when it's difficult, even when it's unclear, even when no one else sees. Because ultimately, the Quran reminds us that God does not burden a soul beyond what it can bear. Chapter 2, verse 286. And that with hardship comes ease. Chapter 94, verses 5 and 6. So the next time you face a challenge, whether it's a struggle, a success, or a moment of uncertainty, remember these three lenses. This may be a bala, a situation I'm being placed in. Within it, there is an imtihan, a test of who I am. And perhaps there is a fitna, a moment that requires me to hold firmly to what is true. And how you respond, that's where your story is written. Thank you for listening. May God permit us to always be under His guidance to the right path. Ameen. Thank you. As he sings, "Thank you, Allah." Let's listen to some words. Let's listen to some words from Ali Hamouda, who is Allah.
Ya nafsu in lam tafari la tajza'i.
Who is Allah? We want to refresh our iman. We want to be attached to our Creator. We want to fear nobody but Him. We want to please none other than Him. So who is Allah? Come with me to Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57 of the Quran, where Allah, He says, introducing Himself to us, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He is Allah who has the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. He alone is the one who gives life and death. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And He is able to do whatever He wishes. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Everything in the heavens and the earth glorify Allah, and He is the most mighty, the most wise. Ya Allah, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً. Do you know anybody who shares even one of these characteristics with Allah? Who is Allah? Come with me to chapter 6 of the Quran, Surah Al-An'am. Allah says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. He has the keys to the unseen. No one knows them except Him. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And He knows everything that is on land and everything that is within the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And there isn't a single leaf that falls from any tree except that Allah has knowledge of it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And there isn't even a grain within the darknesses of the land. وَلَا رَطُبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ. Nor is there anything moist or anything that is solid. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. except that Allah has knowledge of it. It is written within a clear record. La ilaha illallah. We bring to your attention, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the description of just one of Allah Almighty's creation. He is an angel, the chief of the angels, Angel Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him in his true angelic form. Ahmad narrates in his Musnad that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion, he said, رَأَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جِبْرِيلَ فِي صُورَتِهِ رَأَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ لَهُ 600 جَنَاحٍ كُلُّ جَنَاحٍ مِنْهَا قَدْ سَدَّ الْأُفُقُ يَسْقُطُ مِنْ جَنَاحِهِ مِنَ التَّهَاوِيلِ وَالدُّرِّ وَالْيَاقُوتِ مَا اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. He says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Angel Jibreel in his true angelic form, and he had no less than 600 wings, and every one of those wings was huge enough to fill the horizon and cover the skies. One wing spread out covers every cloud, covers every star, covers the sun and the moon, covers every inch of that blue sky that we see. One wing. What then can you make of 600 wings? And if this is the majesty of just one of Allah Almighty's creation, what then can you make of the beauty and the majesty of the Creator Himself? La ilaha illallah. I bring to your attention, dear brothers and sisters, yet a second creation from Allah Almighty. This is the description of one of the angels who are carrying the throne of Allah. Abi Dawood narrates in his Sunan on the authority of Jabir that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أذن لي أن أحدث عن ملك من ملائكة الله من حملة العرش ما بين شحمة أذنه وعاتقه مسيرة 700 عام. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام, Allah has given me permission to give you, O Muslims, a description of just one of the angels that are carrying the throne of Allah. He said the distance between his earlobe and his shoulder is the distance of 700 years worth of travel. If that is the distance between his ear and his shoulder, a hand span of a distance for us human beings, what then about the size of the rest of this angel? What then about the enormity of the rest of his body? If this is the size of one of the angels who are carrying the throne of Allah, what then about the enormity of the throne of Allah itself? And if this is the size of the throne of Allah, what then about the Lord and the King of the throne? Allah asks, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't you see, O people, that everything in the heavens and the earth prostrates to Allah? وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ, and so does the sun, and so does the moon. وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ, and so do the stars, and so do the mountains. وَالشَّجَرُ وَالدَّوَابُ, and so do the trees, and so do the moving creatures. وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, and so do many people. وَكَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابُ, and many people will be punished, Ya Allah. Isn't that amazing? From all of creation that's in existence, they are all in submission, all in sujood to Allah, whether we see it or realize it or not. And the only exception is a minority who happened to be from the weakest of all creation. He is man. He and the jinn, they refuse.
Yeah.
Ashika Rasul as they sing Most Merciful. Let's take in again Mo Ali.
La ilaha illallah,
your God is Allah.
Muhammad Rasulallah,
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah,
I bear witness that
there is no God but Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulallah.
Listeners, thank you very much for tuning in to A Muslim's Perspective. We hope that we have been of some benefit to you today. And until we meet again, inshallah, next week, Saturday, same time, same place, 3 p.m., I'd like to wish you peace out and have a great week. And I leave you with the last words of Muhyiddin Chisti, as spoken by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Muhyiddin Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Muhyiddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, "Love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth. Be a beauteous blossom of love, and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance, dissolve the clouds of discord and war, and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment."
अपने प्यारों को पैसे भेजें लैम्प फाई के साथ अब आसानी और एतमाद के साथ बेहतरीन रेट्स और मुकम्मल सिक्योरिटी के साथ आज ही ट्रांसफर करें लैम्प फाई LEMFI साइन अप करते वक्त रेफर कोड E10 का इस्तेमाल करें और अपनी पहली ट्रांजैक्शन पर 100 या उससे ज्यादा भेजने पर $20 कैशबैक हासिल करें और बस यही नहीं अपने दोस्तों और फैमिली को भी रेफर करें और हर रेफर पर आप दोनों पाएंगे $20 तो आज ही विजिट करिए lamfi.com LEMFI.com
ट्रक ड्राइवर भाइयों, अब यूएस और कनाडा में अनलिमिटेड डाटा वीवो टेलीकम्युनिकेशन के साथ फुल स्पीड नो रुकावट। सफर बिजनेस का हो या शौक का, वर्ल्ड वाइड ई सिम डाटा प्लान के साथ इंटरनेट हमेशा रेडी। ट्रैवल कर रहे हो इंडिया, पाकिस्तान या हज या उमरे के लिए, वीवो टेल के साथ हमेशा रहो ऑनलाइन। दूर दराज इलाका कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं, घर हो या केबिन, वीवो टेल की हाई स्पीड इंटरनेट चलती है दुनिया के किसी भी कोने में। विजिट करें vivotel.com या कॉल करें 416-243-9836 416-243-9836। कनेक्शन आपका दुनिया के साथ।
टेली टाइम इलेक्ट्रॉनिक्स LEDs और होम अप्लायंसेस की हॉटेस्ट और ब्रांडेड रेंज के साथ 0% फाइनेंस गारंटी और लोएस्ट प्राइसेस और फ्री डिलीवरी इन GTA। तो इंतजार कैसा, अभी विजिट करें टेली टाइम ब्रैम्पटन 280 रदरफोर्ड रोड या स्प्रिंगडेल स्क्वायर शॉपिंग सेंटर या इटोबिको 1770 एल्बियन रोड या 9909 मार्कम रोड। मजीद तफसीलात के लिए कॉल करें 905-455-1666। टेली टाइम इलेक्ट्रॉनिक्स।
हाउस सीट महल ते स्वाद दियारो, दुनिया हुई दीवानी, हो शुद्ध खाए दी जे मिठी आई, रज रज के तुसी खानी, नॉन वेज ते वेज फूड दा स्वाद बड़ा तूफानी, साडे स्वीट महल दा लभणा नी कोई जानी।
Yes, Sweet Mahal, jithe mildiyan ne authentic, tasty, flavored, te unique dishes from the top chef. So, aaj hi visit karo sweetmahal.ca te. Vadhere jankari de layi tusi sampark kar sakde ho Sukha Kangji nu 416-679-9991 te 416-679-9191।
सब तो पुराना सोडी फर्नीचर हर घर दी पहचान बन चुकी है।
ओ फिर बने भी क्यों ना, क्योंकि बेडरूम सेट, सोफा सेट, मैट्रेसेस, डाइनिंग टेबल, डेकोरेटिव आइटम्स, गल कीजिए सारे घर दा फर्नीचर बढ़िया क्वालिटी ते डिस्काउंटेड प्राइस ते मिल जांदा सोडी फर्नीचर तो 3 साल ले नो ब्याज।
142 कैनेडी रोड ब्रैम्पटन 9058747171।
770 AM دی نشریات سنن تے حالات حاضرہ تو با خبر رہن دے واسطے نیوز انفارمیشن انالیسس الیکٹرک
گلائی نہیں جائے